Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight. I want to thank Robert Drummond for joining us on the program. If you have any questions you want to ask Mr. Robert Drummond, elite running back, MVP of the Grey Cup, MVP of the Eastern Conference, he had some great years here in Toronto. I'm sure his memories of this place are probably the kind that are fun to think about. I'm positive he had a good time, and I'm positive for those of you that are out there, you're pretty thrilled to talk to Robert Drummond. He has a deep history. He started out with the Eagles. He was drafted in the third round. They took him in. He was there for a while. Didn't quite work out for him, but then he came to the CFL. And when he came to the CFL, he escaped the shadow of Pringle and had his own career. But let's talk about other things in the CFL. And, of course, we'll get to the Argos stuff at the end. Hervey's wasting no time to put his stamp on the team. He's making all kinds of moves, and that's to be expected. Well, one has to wonder about the Tigercats. They've brought in Stevenson through 2015. That's a good move on their part. And, of course, Montreal have acquired running back and former outstanding Canadian Jeremy Messam from the Eskimos. So the Eskimos now, I don't know, maybe they're going to call Corey Boyd again, and maybe Corey Boyd will be there again. A great man, a great Argo as well. Bob Obilovich has decided to call it a day. He has retired after 50 years in the CFL. This guy came to Toronto. He was one of my favorite GMs. Bob was, remember when he came, the headlines read, "The Argos hire Yoda to be general manager." I mean, you'll probably kill me for saying that, but that was one of the things that he was just incredible. He had a good sense of humor. He was a great man. He is a great man, and he will be a great man. And he went to the down the QEW to work with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Things did not work the way he had hoped. I think there was a lot more going on than just Bob Obilovich. But regardless, best wishes to the Ticats, who now are without Bob Obilovich as a consultant. But he had a great career and deserves every accolade that he could possibly get. And I wouldn't mind seeing him back here in Toronto just to say hello or on a consultant basis. He's a wonderful man and a great CFL veteran. Played, coached, GM'd, consulted. He ran the gamut, baby. He did it all, and we're all proud of that. Now, Alouettes have signed a couple of Canadians, Graves, Zaleski, and Holohan. Now, that's a good move for them. They're starting to make their moves. Montreal is, you know, a team that you know, they're in flux, but, you know, that's okay because, you know, this is the CFL. This is where if you do a couple of things right and maybe even a couple more, you know, there's – only 8 teams in the league. You just have to be one of the best 6. You get into the playoffs. You play a game. You never know. This is the CFL. It's why we love it. Everybody has a chance. Every game, you're all in. And if you're not all in, you deserve to lose. Now, moving on. Let's see now. The Eskimos. We all know about the trade for Riley. Riley looks really happy to be an Eskimo. Now, if they've got a quarterback, you know that team, they played against the Argos, and we had a chance to see them a couple of times at the end of the year, and they came up short both times with the Argos, especially in the Eastern Final. They have a good young team. Look out for them. And I know there's a lot of Argo fans out there that disagree with me on this score. But you know, the weaker Hamilton, Montreal, and Winnipeg are, the more likely they'll be in a competition against the West Division team in the event that the Argos are consistent and are as good as the Grey Cup indicates they are. So I'm just saying, I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. You know, when somebody says, let's have a Grey Cup game, I like to see a team from the East. I like to see a team from the West. For now, Winnipeg is in the East. I can accept that. I can draw a line beside Manitoba. No problem. I just have a problem with a Western team representing the East. Now, that's not to say that it's a bad thing. I just don't like it. So I want to see Montreal competitive. I want to see Hamilton competitive. And for the biggest reason, when the CFL is played between two teams, when the games are played between two teams that are almost equal, man, it's the best game in the world. It's better even than the NFL. And one thing I can guarantee you, at the Rogers Center, they'll make sure that the breakers are strong enough to handle all the lights. Because I'm sure the NFL will not live that one down forever. Yep, the NFL, the Super Bowl happened. It was a good game. I watched it from beginning to end. I came home late, so I had it PVR'd. So I was like 45 minutes behind. Well, when the blackout happened, I ended up watching the game live the last couple of minutes. As we know, the two-minute warning takes about an hour. But that's an NFL thing. I still don't like it. But the lights went out. There were rumors that Vegas had something to do with it. There were rumors. I don't know. Maybe it was mom or dad, if you know what I'm saying. Didn't like one of the sons having a really bad game, looking for a chance maybe to help him out. You know what I'm saying? I'm winking. You don't see me winking. Okay. Well, that's fair. I can live with that. Not seeing me wink, that's cool. But really, honestly, it was a good game. I enjoyed the game. Could it have been better? Yes. Did it end up much better than it could have been? Absolutely. That would have been a real snooze fest. I mean, they would have had to have bought Beyonce out for another show because, the game was really... The 49ers, I still can't believe... I thought I was rooting for the underdog. I was quickly straightened out by the fact that Vegas had Frisco as the favorites. Well, that was the mistake. I mean, Baltimore, in my mind, was always the favorite. And I was thinking there was going to be some points there for San Francisco to overcome so that they could beat the spread. And as it turned out, they had the 3.5. Now, the game was good. I enjoyed it. And, maybe next year. Now, unfortunately, my biggest disappointment with the Super Bowl, I don't know how you folks feel about it out there, but the thing that bothers me the most about the Super Bowl, we in Canada can't watch their commercials. I mean, that's the best thing about the Super Bowl, isn't it? The commercials? I mean, seriously, that's the best thing about the Super Bowl, those commercials. I got to see in advance the Budweiser commercial. This isn't an advertisement for Budweiser. But they have taken over from McDonald's, who before people discovered their food was bad for you, used to have the best commercials. Now, the Super Bowl, definitely. They're the boss when it comes to commercials. And I think Budweiser makes the best commercials year in, year out. You know, they're just incredible commercials. They're really family-oriented commercials. My wife and kids and I, we love watching them. You know, it doesn't matter which one's going to win. One of my favorites, Michelin tire one with the animals in the road. What can I say? I have a small mind, and I like that kind of stuff. All right, well, CFL. Now let's go back to the important team for tonight, especially because we have an ex-Argo in Scott Milanovich of the Grey Cup champion Toronto Argonauts was named a finalist for the CFL's Coach of the Year. John Huffnagel of the Calgary Stampeders and Mike Benavides of the BC Lions were other finalists. Now, we don't know who's going to win yet. That's all to come. That's the new news. The Argos, who have released Jarius Jackson. Now, this was a guy on a team that was asked at a moment's notice to be the leader of the team and to go in when our buddy Ricky Ray went down. I think Jarius Jackson did a pretty good job. But I also think that Jarius Jackson wants to be a starter, and he wants to be a starter now. And I think the Argos have done him a favor by releasing him to give him a chance. There are some quarterbacking positions open in the CFL. Hopefully the ones that were really seriously open aren't the ones that all dried up right now, and hopefully there's another opportunity for Jarius. I don't think, in talking to him personally, meeting him, I don't think there's a nicer guy. I don't think there's a guy that deserves more than Jarius Jackson to be a starter. He proved on a couple of occasions that he is a great quarterback, and he can pick it up with a lot of pressure being handed the ball seconds before the game starts, essentially. So, we wish the best. I wish the best to Jarius Jackson. As a fan of Canadian football, he's a quality person, which is pretty normal in the CFL, and we hope that he has another opportunity to play football. And it's possible he could even come back to the Argos. That has been known to happen. So in the CFL, as much as things change, they remain the same. Now, tonight's the night, baby. We do our first CFL interview. And I am so grateful and so happy to say that we have our first guest is a Toronto Argonaut. And more importantly, a Toronto Argonaut that won a Grey Cup. Wait, hang on a second. He didn't just win a Grey Cup. No, sir, he didn't just win a Grey Cup. He won two, back to back. He won an MVP Eastern Conference. That's right. He won the MVP in the Grey Cup. Now, even though it wasn't for the Argonauts, it was for BC, it's still a great feat. One of our best athletes in Canadian football will be with us momentarily. You'll be able to call and ask him any questions you like. We would ask that you be polite, and we don't mind the tough questions, but let's try to keep them, family affair style, if you don't mind. I'd really appreciate that. All right, guys, we'll be back after this short break, and you guys can all call in. I'm telling you, you can have some fun and call in. Hello, yes, dinner, February 9th? Sounds good, but, oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West. And the doors open at 7 p.m. and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too.
We're here. $100.
Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West on February 9th. $100 at the door.
I won't be there. We're here.
Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you?
There, Robert.
Okay, we'll be with Robert in a second. We've got it working, and let's keep it going. Disagreed with or just plain shot down? Come on, be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button. Right? Now, do it!
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
With us now, Robert Drummond, born June 21st, 1967, in the town of Syracuse, in the state of New York, at 6'4", 215 pounds, first-team All-Star, played from 1994 to 2002, played in four Grey Cups in a row, won four Grey Cups, one for Baltimore in 95, two in Toronto in 96 and 97, back-to-back, and BC in 2000, came out from behind the long and shadow of Mike Pringle to come to Toronto and have some of his best years right here in Hogtown. What a thrill it is for me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you Mr. Robert Drummond. Hello,
thanks,
sir.
For introducing me. How are you doing, sir? But I haven't weighed 215 since high school, but thanks for the nod there.
Well, my crack investigation staff came up with those things. We'll talk to them later. They might be getting a little less in their paycheck. No, they won't, because it was me. Robert, you know, I'm very thrilled to have you on the air. I've had the good fortune of meeting many. Well, I'll say a few Argonauts. I shouldn't say many, because many would be thousands. You know, I've met a few. And one thing I notice about CFL players, whether they come from Canada or whether they come from the United States, why is it that CFL players are so down home?
You know, it's just appreciative. You know, it may not be the marketing monster that the NFL is, but you know what? The one thing I learned in my many years in Canada is that the fans up here really, really love their sport. You know, and they just really appreciate the game of football. They really love their brand of football. It's so much fun to play when you have that much appreciation, you know, behind you.
And you know what? As a member of one of those fan clubs, I'm an Argo lifer. A few of us are Argo lifers. In fact, Robert, I didn't get a chance to tell you, the reason this show's on the air is because of the Argo lifers. We do this just for the love of the game here at the CFL. We do it because we think that there are many a decent gentleman that plays the game of football here in Canada. As I said, Canadian or American, you guys do a great job, and you really are approachable. And that's something, I don't know, as we move on in sports and as history moves on, I think it's becoming less and less, not just because of the players, but because of the way some fans overreact. Let's get to the interview, and let's talk about your first years. You came in with Baltimore.
Correct.
A Canadian game invaded by the Americans. What was it like playing for that team?
You know, it was fun. I mean, playing for the city of Baltimore, which the fans of Baltimore, as you've seen with this past Super Bowl, you know, the fans in Baltimore are great. You know, they accepted us with open arms. You know, our stadium had anywhere between 45,000 to 50,000 people per game. You know, and it was just fun to play. It was a much more up-tempo game, a fast-paced game. You know, the CFL game. Like you say, the wider fields, the longer fields, the faster-paced game, and it just was so much fun to play. And that first year experience for me really opened my eyes to a different brand of football and a brand of football I really, truly, truly like.
Yeah, and you were well-suited as a CFL running back. Your first years, you were behind Mike Pringle.
Correct.
You know, let's face it, one of the greatest running backs, one of the greatest running backs in CFL history. You had a lot. You obviously learned from him. I mean, what was it like being a backup? And tell us what it's like to be second string or not the go-to guy. What do you do in your mind to get ready and work hard? And what is it that goes to your mind to prepare you for when you do get your chance?
You know what? I was always an off-season workout warrior. You know, and backing up, I actually wasn't Mike Pringle. I wasn't backup as a running back, but I also was a starting fullback. But, you know, it didn't bother me for the simple fact that I was a team player. I would do anything that it takes. Or anything that it took to allow our team to win, and what I was about was winning championships. You know, so backing up Mike Pringle, blocking over Mike Pringle so he gets to get all those yards so he can score touchdowns meant that we won games. It meant that I ended up with Grey Cup champions. So, I mean, I didn't care. I sat back, I looked, you know, I watched, I learned, I worked as hard as I could. And I sit back here and I look at my career now that it's all said and done. And I've been fortunate enough to play in the same backfield with Tracy Ham in the Hall of Fame, Mike Pringle in the Hall of Fame, Damon Allen in the Hall of Fame, Doug Flutie in the Hall of Fame, Mike Pinball Clemens in the Hall of Fame. You see where I'm going? So I've been blessed to be able to be paired up with a bunch of guys who are very, very talented and were good with what they did. You know, so that's something I look back on now, and I said to myself, I was like, wow, I was surrounded by some great talent, some great athletes, and that made the game that much fun for me.
Didn't you also play with Matt Dunnigan a bit?
I never played with Matt Dunnigan. Matt Dunnigan was in Hamilton, our hated rivals when I was in Toronto.
You guys crossed paths because after he left the Argos, he came to the Argos.
Correct. I mean, I know Matt very well, but we were on opposite ends of the field.
Hey, listen, this is one thing, you know, in hockey, you mentioned that, in hockey, you get people like Don Cherry, whether you know him or not, it's not important. But
I know Don.
At the end of the day, he's all about the guys on the other side are the enemy. And he would get irritated whenever a player would go over and shake hands with another player. Football's a very sportsman-type game. You guys, it's not like you guys let up on each other. But at the end of the game, you're all brothers, you're all friends, you're all, it's over, the game's over, now it's, you know, now let's go see the guy I went to college with.
You know, at the end of the day, I always say you're human beings first, you know. And you can be in a battle against your brethren, you know, up and down the field for 3 hours a game. But after the game's over, you know, you break bread, you have fun, you have the camaraderie, you know, you become human. But during the game, it's a war. It truly, truly is. But you know, there's a victor and there's a loser, and then, you know, you just congratulate each other to move forward.
Listen, when you started out, you know, we talk about being a warrior. We talk about preparation. You get drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and
can I
like, this has got to be a hard question to answer, but I feel I need to ask it. As a CFL player, we all know, and anybody who's got a brain in his head understands that the American players that come up here to play football.
Mm-hmm.
Come here to play football, not just because they love the game, but in the back of their mind, is there not always a hope that they can make the NFL?
There is. You know, it's just if you grow up American, you grow up understanding and loving the game, American football. You know, so coming up to play in the Canadian Football League to Canada to another country is a mindset of taking a step back. You know, because we grow up as Americans watching American football. We just watched the Super Bowl, and that's what kids aspire from a young age, myself included, from a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7, and therefore, you know, on up. So we understand the game of American football as we see it. And to go to the Canadian Football League, it's not the American game that we played as children, that we played in high school, that we played in college. It's just, it's a different dynamic. It's a different makeup. It's a different, I mean, you really have to readjust your mindset in order to do it. But once you get here and understand the game, how fun it is, how fast-paced it is, how the fans are crazy and how the fans just love their sport, you know, you really accept it, embrace it, and really love the game.
Robert, I guess it would be fair to say as well that it's in your blood. The NFL is in your blood. It's basically college football, NCAA, NFL. You know, that's what you guys are raised with. I raise this for a reason. I bring this up because I feel too many Canadian Football League fans put too much stock in the fact that maybe some of the players that come up here want to play in the NFL. I'm going to say this, and you as a player, I have finally a chance to say this in front of a player and get your opinion on this. Isn't it better in the long run that more players in the Canadian Football League end up going to the NFL? Because it'll attract many of the other great college football players who maybe decided it's not my career because I have nowhere to go. Because, frankly, if you're not in the NFL, forget the CFL existence. If you're not in the NFL, you're going to play in the B leagues, which aren't much better, if not, they're not as good as the CFL. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. And you almost have to look at it from a standpoint of a developmental league, you know, and I don't mean that with any disrespect for the CFL because I absolutely love the game, the Canadian Football League game. But from a developmental league, by a standpoint of a marketing standpoint, and by that I mean You know, the average salary of a player on a practice roster in the NFL is almost $400,000, you know, for 17 games. The CFL doesn't come anywhere remotely close to that. You know, so the players thinking on financial dollars and cents and things of that nature, the NFL is definitely where you want to go. It's like putting yourself in a position to earn, like you go to college. You go to college to do what? Get a job where you can earn the most possible money you possibly can. Everyone does that. You know, you don't go to a job where you can earn the least amount you can once you get your college degree. And it's all from marketing. The NFL is a marketing monster. It's probably the best marketed sport. It is the best marketed sport in the United States. So if anything, the Canadian Football League can get on that par and get on that level, it's always going to be that dynamic, it's going to be that makeup of players thinking about money before the love of the game.
You're totally right, and I will add a point to the end of that sentence for you to establish that the NFL is in fact the best marketed sport
in the world,
and here's why. One country, one marketing stream, and it's equal to anything that comes up in the world. And I'm talking soccer, football, as you know, European. When we talk about commercial time and how much
yes.
it costs,
yes.
So we're talking marketing. We're not talking good sport. We're not talking best sport. We're not talking best tournament. We're talking how the NFL, I think they get every drip that's there. They don't leave anything behind, let me tell you.
Yeah, but the NFL, there are two soccer teams that are financially, they're Fortune 500 worth more than any NFL team. So, the Dallas Cowboys is third in that list.
Absolutely.
I think Dallas Cowboys are something worth like $3 billion, but there are two Manchester United, I think it is, and I'm not
Manchester
sure if you're
United,
United,
yep.
And there's one more soccer team that are worth more than any NFL team. So,
Robert, I'm kind of worrying about you.
I know my story.
You know why I'm worrying about you? Do you know why I'm worrying about you? Here you are, a football player, and you're arguing with a radio guy about whether the NFL or soccer is better. Why is it you're on the wrong side of this equation? No, I appreciate you. No, I truly appreciate your point, and you are right. You are right. In that regard, I can't dispute simple fact. And yes, but I was kind of more meaning it along the lines of one country and how much interest they drive based
yes.
on the drive of a world. You know, like
correct.
The world drives that. Like Manchester
correct.
United isn't just about England. It's about, because of the way the sport works, right?
The world.
They're
yes.
playing all over the world, right?
Yep.
And that's all I meant. We're both right.
Okay.
So for once in my life, I get to say I'm as good as the Grey Cup MVP. There we go.
That's fine with me.
Okay, good man. Okay, let's move on. And, you know, looking back, hindsight. You know, when you won your awards, you won, I guess, MVP of the Eastern Conference,
yes.
and also MVP of the Grey Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, looking back now, how do you see those victories and those championships? Are they fading for you, or does through time do you meet people that were in those games and people talk to you, and it enhances what happened? How does it change from when it happened to now?
Well, with Facebook, I have a window to the world, so I can find all my old friends, so that's no problem there. But, you know, it's from a standpoint of, you know, I sit back and I look at it now as I get older, and it makes me realize what it took, the hard work, the sweat, you know, the blood, the tears, the wins, the losses, everything we went through. The 1 year in B.C., we finished, you know, 9-9. And still ended up winning the Grey Cup, and just, you know, we were the only team to ever have a tied or losing record going into the playoffs and win the Grey Cup, and you know, and then going back to back, you know, in Toronto and having back to back three lost seasons and just the dominance and just how we played and how we worked and how we got along, and it's memorable, you know, and I talk to players and certain things come back to your mind, certain things come back to your head. And you sit there and say to yourself, wow, that went by fast, you know? It truly went by fast, you know? And I see all my friends now getting in the Hall of Fame, all my friends now doing the things that we're the veterans of the past that I used to see that got, and when I was a young kid, and I used to see these guys going to the Hall, and see these guys that I idolized, and we're that group now. And it's just, I mean, you sit here and say to yourself as a former player, wow, time went by fast. And I look at my own young children now, and I'm like, wow, is that time going to go fast with them also? So now I just try and enjoy it as much as I possibly can. You know, my son will sit here. I have two sons. I have a 14-year-old Raphael and I have a 4-year-old Jaden. And I would sit there and say, they'll tell me, it's like, wow, Dad, you're very good. And I was like, you know what? I was good because I worked at it. You know, nothing in life comes easy, and that's what I try and teach them. But to go sit back there and just go over these OTAs and just sit there and just see the guys, see how hard we played, see how well we played as a team, and to realize that at the end of the day, we won a championship, that's what it's all about.
It's totally, and I applaud you and your attitude, and I also applaud your behavior on Facebook. As you know, we are friends on Facebook.
Yes.
And I advise anybody out there that wants to be my friend on Facebook, especially if you're ex-players, especially if you're CFL fans, and it doesn't matter whether you're an Argo fan, a Ticat fan, an Alouette fan, or an Ottawa whatchamacallit fan. It matters not to me, or any of the Western Division teams, including Winnipeg. Matters not to me. I love this game, I love this man, and I love the men like him. Now, I can say that to you honestly because I have a lot of respect for you. I won't get into all the details. I'll let people who follow you on Facebook get into the details. Mm-hmm. But you started. It's like you were reading my questions. You know, I'm a little concerned that you read my questions. You already know what the answers are. So my question, one of the questions I had is, if what advice do you have for college players or players who play football? Not just the ones that are playing college, not just the ones that graduate college and are drafted, but every player, including the ones, because you have players who try to make the team and they're still working hard. I know a few of them that are still trying to get it. What advice do you give to the ones who have or at the point where they're drafted, so they have some cachet, if you know what I mean? The ones that had cachet and somehow haven't found their break, and the ones that never got the break. What advice would you give to them? And you can split it in three different ways if you like.
You know what? Honestly, and the best, you know, barometer I can use for that is what I tell my own children, is what I tell the old kids that I train here, because I own my own gym in Syracuse, New York, or excuse me, Manlius, New York, which is a suburb of Syracuse. It's just to be human. You know what? And by that, I mean, me personally, as a football player, as a person, every day I woke up, you know, and I'm not religious at all. I'm just spiritual. I mean, I just thank God for giving me the day, you know, to go out there and be the best that I possibly can be, because, I mean, tomorrow's never promised to anyone on this planet. You know, so now that I was given this day to wake up and just, you know, have a chance to go out there and work harder, and just work hard. Be human. See people with respect. If something doesn't go your way, don't get mad and sit there and punch a wall and punch the ground. You know what? Find what you did wrong, correct it, and just go out there and work harder. I always just sit there and say in practice, when I walk into a practice field, I always say to myself, like, you know, Robert, it's like this practice is over. And by that, I meant I was afforded the opportunity to be able to go out there and practice at a professional level and have fun. It's all about having fun. So when I went out there and practiced, my former teammates would tell you, I just had the most fun I could possibly have for that one day. And if I was rewarded another day, the next day, that was all repeated. But I would just tell these young athletes, you know, just to go out there and stop expecting so much out of yourself and just go out there and have fun with this game. That's the problem with this game today. These athletes aren't having fun. They're either in it for the money. They're either in it for the glory. I mean, whatever you're in it for, whatever you are in it for, you need to have to go out there and have fun. And I can equate it back to basically being when I was a 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid playing the game. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was having fun. And I think a lot of the fun in the game is lost. And that's the problem with these young athletes today.
Do you think maybe it has something to do with the fact that, you know, I'm not directing this, and I hope it doesn't sound derogatory, but let's face it, athletes, not just football players here, we're not just talking about football players, but they're treated like, I don't know, like kings,
yeah.
You know, as
oh, yeah.
as youthful players, even at the age of 10, 11, 12, because
yeah.
it goes down that early that these players – they're already being hunted down by various recruiters.
The humility and the sport is being lost. And that's a major, major problem. You know, these guys aren't humble anymore. When you get these contracts in excess of $100 million, you know, I mean, it's just astronomical. And these guys are just, the humility of the game is completely lost. That's what I always say. I can tell a player who's going to be successful, just not in football, but in life, by how humble you are, and it's very easy to tell if you just look at them. Just look at how they talk. Just look at the demeanor. Just look at how they walk. Just look at how they carry themselves. You know, it's not hard to tell.
It's not hard also to lose track of the fact that a career in football and in sports in general is fleeting. It doesn't last forever, and some players think it'll never end. You think that's maybe one of the problems?
I think that's definitely a problem. I mean, a lot of these players, the average lifespan of a player in the NFL is 3 years. In the CFL, because the game is not as violent, it's probably a little bit less, but still, these guys have to have a plan, you know, for when they're done with the sport. Because when the fans are gone, when the fame is gone, you know, when the money is gone, you know, when you're not getting cheered in front of all those hordes of fans at the game anymore, you know, what do you do with your life? You have to have a plan for what you're going to do after the game of football. And a lot of these guys think it's going to last forever, but it doesn't. At some point, it's all going to end. You have to have a plan for that. And a lot of these guys don't have a backup plan.
Have you heard, and what do you think, if you have, of the idea of creating a players' association for the college football players?
I think it's one of the smartest things you can possibly do. And along that, they have to prepare these guys for, especially a lot of college players, they have to prepare these guys for not making a professional team, what they're going to do with their life afterwards. Because a lot of these guys don't make the professional rank, professional levels, and they have no idea what to do. And it goes down a very, very, very dark road, a road of depression, a road of, disorientation, a road of not understanding what life's going to give them, because they're so used to being college stars. All of a sudden, when that stops, they have no idea what to do. So they need to learn how to cope with that, how to understand that, how to do that, the certain thing they need to do to be successful in life. They need to start learning that in college. And that's the best thing that the NCAA could possibly do, is just teach these guys what it's going to be like if they should not happen to make it.
Some would suggest that the NCAA isn't as I don't want to be mean about this, but
I'll say they're close.
But they don't really bring these kids in, and I'm calling them kids because that's what they are.
They're bringing
these kids in, and they're just taking advantage of them. They're pretending they're getting an education. Unfortunately, they don't really get an education, because how do you get an education when you got 3-a-days and you got, you know, 2 games out of town, and you're on the bus, and you're not home, and how do they get an education? I think it's time, in my opinion, to make sure that the colleges, you know, they don't want to, you know, the money that they make is tax-free as well. People aren't aware of that. They don't pay taxes either, you know.
No, they don't.
So, you know, they're making good money. It would just be nice. This player association thing that's being driven by a former owner of a former owner in the NFL, he is promoting this, an elderly guy, long in the tooth in football, and I agree with him. And at the very least, what they should do is, after their career in college, this is my opinion, okay, this is what I think they should do. I'm not a genius at this stuff. I'm just a dad. I'm just a dad, and I'm thinking like a dad, okay? What they should be forced to do is, if that player after 2 or 3 years can't cut it in the NFL, doesn't have a career, played for the NCAA team for 2, 3 years, whatever it is, a minimum of whatever, how many years, they should be obliged to give this kid a second chance, and this time concentrating on an education. That's what they should be doing.
That's the most important thing. But as I said before, with a multi-billion dollar industry, which is the NCAA, It's going to take a while before we get to that point.
Well, you know, they're an insulated group, that's for sure. They
definitely live in
a bubble. And every so often, things happen where the bubble gets penetrated. So it's not impervious to anything happening.
Different dynamic, different makeup, different time. So it's definitely on its way to going towards the route that you just said, or you just mentioned.
I hope it works out this way. Now, at this time, I would ask politely, for all non-Argo fans, to please turn down the volume on their set. However they're listening, please turn it down. Okay, now, just between you and I, I'm an Argo lifer, and we're always looking for inside advice on how to get to the other team's quarterback or to the other team. What do fans do that really gets to players?
What do fans do?
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, there's nothing really fans can do. I mean, we'd be in Hamilton, which is when I was in Argo, our hated rival, you know. But the fans would always, you know, jaw us back and forth, harass us on the sideline. But they didn't realize that just made us madder. So when we went on the field, we took it out on the Hamilton players. You know, so we knew we couldn't touch the fans or anything, so we just took it out on the players. So what they were basically doing was helping us, and they didn't realize that. We, like, keep it up, you know, because you're giving us all this adrenaline, you're giving us all this energy, you're giving us all this anger, so we're going to take it out on your players. You know, so there's nothing really a fan can do to really, you know, offset anything that we could do with the other team. But when we're home, but as long as you cheer loud for us, as long as you cheer with passion for us, that gives us the extra energy, that gives us the extra motivation to go out there and want to play, not just for ourselves, but for our, you know, our adoring fans who are with us all the time, you know, day and night.
I don't think it hurts either that we yell real loud when the
quarterback
of the other team's trying to yell out his audibles.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt at all. It's a good thing. It's good for the sport.
Well, our policy with the Argo Lifers, and I think it's the general policy with all fans, okay, you guys can all turn on your mics again. I mean, your speakers, turn them up again. I think it helps that we sort of distract the offense and of course the audibles and stuff like that. But I think the thing about fans is, you know, my friend, we live inside you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you know, we think, you know, as much as you're carrying that ball, Mr. Drummond, Robert Drummond, as long as you're carrying that ball, we're carrying it with you.
Yes.
And if you drop it, it's your fault.
Yes.
We're with you until you drop the ball.
Then
we're against you. Now we're mad at you. Now we're going to get at you. Now we're going to hound you. How tough is that when you have a bad game?
You know, for me personally, you know, I really need to speak of myself. It's like, honestly, it's just, I can shake it off. You know, I'm human. You know, I'm not a robot. I'm not a machine. I can learn from my mistakes. You know, I'm not going to go out there and be perfect all the time. And I'm trying to be perfect all the time. No one's perfect. Don't show me anybody who's perfect. You know, I mean, we would bring me out into some films, and I'd get like 99% sometimes because I'd make one slight mistake, and it wouldn't be a drop pass, a bump, or anything. It'd be taking the wrong step on a running route or wrong step on a pass route. And I'd beat myself up. I don't need someone. Or when I played, I didn't need someone else telling me the mistakes I made because I realized the mistakes I made, but I wouldn't make them the next game. You know, but I'd make a different mistake because you're never gonna have a perfect game. It's impossible. Just limit your mistakes, learn from it, just move forward.
And learn from your mistakes. Admit
Correct.
Your mistakes, because if you don't admit you made a mistake, you're not gonna fix it.
That's life.
And that's what we try to teach our children, which is a perfect segue into
Exactly. Being
a family man.
Mm-hmm.
I love some of your posts. One of my favorite posts that you put up was. Your son was sick. You brought him into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And as a family man, I feel very weak sometimes. And it's always when my children get sick. It's
mm-hmm.
always when I can't control what's going on.
Yes.
Is that the toughest thing about being a parent for you?
It is the toughest thing about being a parent. It's like, you know, I'm this big, strong, athletic, powerful, can protect anybody football player. And when you see the most precious thing on life, you know, your child to you, you know, in pain or in hurt or afraid, you know, because it was his appendix, it was hurting, it was as if my hands were tied. And I'm so used to being able to be in control of any situation, anytime, anywhere in my life that it's just like I just had to, you know, relax and, you know, and let the doctors do their job and just let fate, you know, follow its course. You know, and it's just, I'm not used to that, you know, because I always want to protect my children from any pain or any harm on this world, but... You know, he ended up being okay, but it just lets me know that, you know, I sat there and I almost wanted to cry because it's my oldest son, but I don't want him hurting. I mean, any parent would always want to take the pain with me from their child, but, you know, we can't do that. It's physically, it's humanly impossible to take the pain from them. But, I mean, I just had to sit there as a parent and just tough it out and make sure he was okay and let him see it from my facial expression that he was okay. I was okay because if I'm not okay, then he's going to start to panic because he sees a parent panicking, and then the kids definitely start getting worried also. But it's being a father, being a mother, being a parent, it's a different dynamic, a different makeup. You know, it's a job, and it's a tough job. But you know what? I give all those there out there that are parents doing their job, I give them a lot of credit. You know, just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, that's really nice of you. Now, on a good note, what's the best thing about being a parent?
I get to wake up every morning. As I said before, God give me a chance because my sons, you know, in the morning, tell them I love them, you know, and just go out there and just do the best I possibly can at being a parent.
And would it be? I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead. You finish that thought. I apologize.
I was going to say, so, you know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. You know, and I just try and let my children make as many mistakes as they can. But I'm just always there to try and, like, tell them about their mistakes and, you know, and try to guide them to a different path. Because, you know, I don't want to be that one parent just say, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Because what do you do? What does a child do if you keep telling them you can't do this? They don't want to do it. Curiosity. You know, so I tell them, you can try it, but or you can do this, but you can go this mall or anything. But if this happens, you got to learn from it. If you can't get a ride home and you miss it, you walk back home. I mean, I'll be probably somewhere behind them just to make sure you get safe home, but they won't know that.
You sound just like
but
me, buddy.
You got to let them learn from mistakes, you know. That's how they learn.
Robert, you know, you're a football player. You're a man. You're a father. And I think, can I put words in your mouth at this point?
I'm sure.
A lot of what you are today is because of the game of football. Whatever financial opportunities you had and you took advantage of are because of football and because you knew that you could do something with your life.
You're correct.
So your advice to other players, would it be, and this will be my last question, then we'll go to a break.
Okay.
It's very important that people, when you get an opportunity, that you take advantage of it. If you don't take advantage of it and respect the opportunity you were given and carry that opportunity throughout your life and drag it out as long as you can, you'll end up being like some multimillionaire for a couple of weeks, football players, lottery winners. It isn't just about football players. But I bet you know a lot of players who didn't take advantage of the opportunities they were given.
Oh, I do. You know, you have to love what you're doing first. Have a plan, second, and understand that one day, especially if you're playing a sport, it will come to an end. It's going to come to an end for everybody. Have a plan after that. My plan basically was like, you know what? I love to work with kids. I love to help people. You know, so I became a personal trainer. Now I own my own gym. You know what I mean? And I go across the country, motivational speaking. You know, any kid or any parent, anyone who lives with me, also because I have a story to tell. You know, and it's a story about success and how to just go out there, just work hard and just love what you're doing. If you wake up every day and you go to work and it's something you love to do, it's not a job. It's having fun.
Robert, we're going to take a short break and then we're going to go to some phone callers. We're going to risk opening the lines. Are you ready for this? Brace yourself.
Okay.
Brace yourself. We'll be back right after this. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on. Be brave. Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button right now. Do it. Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? With us right now, four-time Grey Cup champion Robert Drummond, 285 pounds. No, wait, maybe that's a little higher. 6'4". Used to be in high school, 215 pounds. Won four Grey Cups, was in four Grey Cups in a row, and he would have been a five-time Grey Cup champion, except for Hall of Famer Lou Piscaglia of the BC Lions kicked a last-second field goal, and it was probably the most miserable moment in Robert Drummond's life. How was that moment, my friend?
You know, I'm a competitor, but I know you win some. I know you lose some. I know we made some mistakes that game. They could have won us that game, so... You know what? I mean, I dusted myself off, got back up, with the hard work that off season, and then what happened? Won it the next year. So I'll take that one loss in those four wins any day.
Well, you know what? You know what they say about steel, right? It's forged in heat, right?
Correct.
Okay, we got some phone callers here. Let's start with our first phone caller. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Robert. It's Kevin calling from Kingsley's Collectibles.
Hey, Kevin. How's it going?
Not bad. The most memorable years as an Argo fan, I think, was the John Candy years. What was it like playing for the ownership, and did you ever get to meet the late, great John Candy?
Well, I never got a chance to meet John Candy. He was a little bit before me, before I got there. I was in the NFL at that point, but from what I've heard from him, from the organization and people who were still there, like Mike Clemens and Paul Mazzotti, he was a great man and he was a great owner of the head, you know. And I wish I had gotten a chance to meet him. Sorry I didn't, but I heard great things about him. But may he rest in peace.
You have a follow up question, Kevin?
Yeah, I do. I also like to thank you for your interview and your time. I'm one of the Argo lifers. It's been a great interview, and I just finished Facebooking you, so I look forward to your posts.
All right, thank you very much, sir. You have a great day and night.
Yeah, you too.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, what's your name and where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
You're on. Oh, we'll try the next caller.
Okay.
They probably fell asleep with my silly questions. You're up next.
Yeah. Robert, I just wanted to point out first, hearing you talk, it just shows why you're a true champion. The character and your life story is really admirable. And I want to touch upon an article that I read a couple of years ago, 2010, that a really good sports journalist wrote about you, Perry Lefko. When I say Bobby, I think you know what I'm talking about. It inspired me, that article, and I imagine that it's still an impact in your life. And how is that going for you as far as your family and the tragedy that happened?
You know what? Not a day goes by that I don't think about my father. You know, but it drives me to be a better father. You know, it's just and I know I have to work hard every single day. As I said before, I'm giving breath to wake up, and I'm wake up in the morning and giving another day to be the best father for my children. And that just doesn't mean just, you know, giving them monetary things like you know, like clothing and games, and it just means just being there for them. Like my kids always know that, like, whether they're in high school or whether they're playing, you know, the sports games or wherever they are, I always walk over to them and tell them I love them. I'll kiss them on the forehead. As I said before, tomorrow's never promised. So I try and lead by example as much as I can. As I said before, I'm not perfect. I always make mistakes, but I let them know about those mistakes so they can learn from my mistakes as well as their own mistakes. You know, so I just try and go out there and just, like, try and carry on what my father would have wanted me to be. You know, unfortunately, that was taken away from me, you know, by the actions of a younger individual who decided that a gun was the best way, being in the gang, to solve his issues. But, you know, it's made me a stronger person. It's made me a better person. Does it still hurt? To this day, it still hurts, but you know what? I'm never going to succumb to anger or fear or anything like that. I try to go out there and just keep pressing along because we're all human beings. We all have to live on this planet together, and we all have to get along. So let's just do it.
Robert, can I follow up with that? And I just want to say that I thank you for sharing that with us, because that article and that piece, because it hit a spot. And I just want to say, you're not weird when those things happen. My father passed away 2.5 years ago, and I can just kind of more or less understand what you're going through and what you went through. So thanks for sharing that. And if you don't realize it, it means a lot to people when they read factual things like that from an honest person. And sure. with that, I also want to ask you a couple questions, football related questions.
Okay.
After that Denver tryout, why and how did you end up in Baltimore is what I want to know.
I have no idea. You know, the NFL is a political game. You know, they can bring an athlete in, but if another coach brings an athlete in and you're better than that athlete, they can never be proven wrong. So they'll only need a very good player over a player who's less talented, because they can't be seen as being wrong. You know, so I can never answer questions from what goes on in the offices or what we call the higher ups. All I can possibly do as an athlete is just go out there and play as well as I can. I proved the type of player I was in my years in the CFL, so that's fine for me. The CFL accepted me as a player, accepted me as an athlete, and I love the CFL game.
Who reached out to you? Sorry, who reached out to you from Baltimore after that Denver failure, the tryout that went awry, I guess? That's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, my agent lived in Baltimore. And actually, the Baltimore Stallions happened to be down there. And he asked me, and he got in contact with the general manager who he's friends with, Jim Pop, from the Baltimore Stallions. And we just went down there for a workout. And I think I ran 4.40s for him. And I think that's the fastest one was something like a 4. I was not training or anything. But it was like a 4.38, 4.39. And the slowest one was like a 4.47, 4.46. And then they signed me right on the spot.
Oh, wow.
The rest
Robert,
is history.
Also, I want to ask you a very important question. As Frank was telling you, I'm also an Argo lifer. We're in it for life. And I wanted to ask you, I was at both those great cups in Hamilton and in Edmonton, the Hamilton Snow Bowl. I'm going to call the Edmonton the Tundra Frozen Bowl, because there was snow, but it was more dry cold that was killing us.
Yes.
Which one of those two games do you remember the most as far as, you know, I already have mine, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. Which one of those two great cups did you enjoy more?
You know what? Winning the first one was a great victory, you know, because we had the drama going into the season, you know. But it's like, I think that one we were supposed to win, you know.
You know how I was hoping you were going to answer? Hoping you were going to answer, John. John, the one in Hamilton, because you know we all hate the Ticats, so rubbing it in their face in their hometown is probably what you want to hear. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, Robert. Thanks for giving me that answer.
Remember, Robert.
Robert, I appreciate again the time and you showing up to the show tonight. Really appreciate all the Argo lifers are listening, and we're going to keep following you. Thanks, Frank.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very much.
You're welcome, John.
Care,
we're gonna run a little bit over, John. If you have any other questions, just let me jump in here for a second. How do you feel about hanging around for a little while longer?
Me?
I'm talking to you, Robert. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
You sure? Yeah, because I can extend the program if I wish, and I like the guests that I have on. And now what I want you to do, and John, you're gonna stay on. Is I wonder if Kingsley's still around. Because we're going to take a short break, and I want Robert to ask the fans some questions. So I'll give you a minute or two, Robert, to think about some questions that you'd like to ask the fans. Have you ever wanted to ask fans a question?
The Argonauts fans were always great fans, so it's just like we should live by example, just let them do their thing. You know, so it was always fun.
Frank, can I get in there and give Robert an invitation? Next time he's up in Toronto and he can hook up through us through Facebook, you have an invitation and a pair of tickets to come and join us in the Argo Lifers section right beside our treble drums with us, and bring up your sons if you want. And then you can find out more about us if you want, Robert, but the invitation is there for you.
Thank you very much.
Even three tickets.
You're welcome.
Even three tickets.
Even
however
three tickets.
Many you
even
need.
Four.
However many
let
you
me
need.
Know.
Thank
however
you
many
Frank.
Do, Robert.
Okay, thank you. I mean, that's very, very thoughtful of you.
just so, okay, let's take a short break, and we'll let you know what the Argo Lifers are all about. And if you have any questions, that would be great. And let's start with an Argo Lifers commercial. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show. Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you?
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Okay, Robert, here's the deal. You will end up being an Argo lifer. You realize that, right?
I'm already an Argo lifer.
Now, let me tell you about the guy that's on the phone with you, John. I'll give you a little bit of history. I told you my history, my personal history. We had our conversation. And I told you that some friends of mine invited me out to the Argos games.
Mm-hmm.
And John buys many more tickets than he needs. And what he does is he looks for people who are real Argo fans,
mm-hmm.
who maybe wouldn't otherwise go to an Argo game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the trick is, and here's where he's a bit unreasonable, he invites you to come to the game, and if you don't wear blue, yell and scream on behalf of the Argos, you're not welcome back. So be advised.
Hey,
be advised, you may only come to one game.
But you know what, it does... For me, to go to an Argo game and wear my Grey Cup ring allows me to be a part of the existing team, even though I'm the old school team. Because I know what those guys are going through. I know what it took to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish because I'm actually wearing it on my hand. Blood, sweat, and tears.
Robert, you are a lifer for life because you're a back-to-back champ. And that is one of those rare things that you can always hold up proudly. You know, you've won them with different teams, but back-to-back, it's going way back when the Argos did that last time. And this is the only reason why I still wear that jersey with that logo. And I was going to ask you regarding the logo. Okay, you came into the team when we had that breaking tradition. We went from double blue to teal. And blue.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it. I still wear it because again I'm wearing it to honor the back to back champions, which are you guys. And I've had many jerseys, but I still wear that one to date. But I cover it up with Bolt logo patches. Now I say Bolt logo patches, Robert, because I'm a true diehard hardcore fan who believes and wants the best for this franchise. And I know going across the country from different fans and stadiums, I've met people who wanted the Bolt logo back. What logo do you honestly like on this franchise? Remember, we're called the Boatmen. right?
Yeah.
Not the Shield,
man. We're called the Boltman, but I mean, I like the logo that's on our second our first championship ring of basically the Argonaut. You know, it's just a man. He's encased almost in a circle, and he's just like Jason in the Argonaut.
He's holding up his arm. As a shield.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That just symbolizes power to me. That just symbolizes what the Argonaut is about. The warrior.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, Robert. John is a diehard boat logo guy. Now he comes from a different angle than you do. Here's the angle John comes from. John comes from the angle of let me start by saying this, and this might be maybe a little overwhelming. The Toronto Argonauts were founded on October 4th, 1873. And they were the Toronto Argonaut Rowing Club.
Mm-hmm.
This also made them one of the oldest franchises in professional sports. In fact, they are the oldest in North America.
I know that.
And here lies the problem. John has been following the Argos probably since then. and John has had the opportunity more than you, and maybe even more than I, to be in love with this team for decades.
Mm-hmm.
He watched it as they had their original logo, which is the boat logo. He's seen a secondary boat logo. He has seen the what I'll call the psychedelic version of the Argos. To me, that's what it is. As somebody who's been around town, so it's kind of unfair for you to make a decision on it, because you're only picking between what you saw.
That's correct.
I just want to make sure that you don't get the wrong idea here. John is a diehard boat logo guy, and I agree with him, by the way. I want to make this clear as well, that for the youth and for the fans of the Toronto Argonauts, some of us that are older than John, like me, the A means a lot as well, because that's the Dick Shadow era. These are names you may or may not know. It's not important.
Oh, I know.
You know,
I know Mr. Shadow is from his record.
Those are the big A guys, right? But but what happened was the boat logo was left behind, all right? And take, for example, that you've got a guy, John, who loves the boat logo. And let's be honest. I'm going to say this, and I hope the guys at the Argonaut office don't get mad at me. But it's not really their doing, because there have been different owners, different people who are the caretakers for the organization because of the changeover with ownership. The boat logo maybe didn't get the kind of respect it deserved. It is the original logo, and it was left behind. And people like John, who love that almost feel, and John, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, almost insulted by the fact that the boat logo has been left behind and treated the way it has been the past 10, 15 years. Would that be a fair statement, John?
Yes, insulted, a little strong, but you're on the right path.
I'm glad you're saying that strong. I'm glad you're saying that strong.
I just wanted to let the organization know that I've been more or less like a guinea pig with the Bolt logo across the country and meeting other Argo fans, because they just haven't seen it. And the teenagers that have seen it in the last few years are saying, we didn't even know that existed. So they never gave it a marketing issue. And it's only because it stands for what we are. It's simplistic, and it doesn't remind kids of a grade A that they get in school or don't get, okay, which is what I hear the younger version saying. That's what it reminds them of. So I just want what's best for this franchise, what kids and fans will identify with first, and what we can really kind of be proudly wearing, because the colors are awesome. And that pigskin football, you know, it just stands out. It stands out, makes the double blue around it, you know, stand out more. And we are being referred to as the Boatman. Every single news article that we're in, it's referred to as the Boatman. So with all that, that's the reason why. I'm passionate about it. I want other fans to know. By the way, Robert, only last spring training camp, on May 1st, when they started it, I went out and got a boat logo tattoo on my forearm. I'm not a tattoo guy. Frank already heard the story, and my lifers heard the story. So I inspired two other people to get the tattoo. Remember, no tattoos of Argonaut logos ever heard of, and now you got three fans who get the one boat logo tattoo. So,
okay.
really passionate about it, and that's why I insist, and I really don't want you to back out on this invitation. We want you there in the lifers section, Robert. I kid you not, you're going to have fun. And the reason why I want this section is to be a proper fan, meaning we stand on defense, we obstruct the our enemy offense by trying to make as much noise as we can on defense, and we sit and enjoy the game on offense, and let Ricky Ray and the boys do the job. That's what I'm trying to instill into this Toronto kind of conservative crowd. And I'd love to have you and your two boys down there with us. Again, as soon as the schedule comes out, let us know. And by the way, you can check us out, Robert, if you go to Toronto Argonauts Bolt Logo page on Facebook. You can like us, and you can see our season. Again, the Toronto Argonauts Bolt Logo page. And I'd love for you to be one of the fans on the page and see yourself and the boys. Because we hire a photographer for the whole entire season to follow us in the section, and we post the pictures. So we'd love to have you be part of that. I hope you can commit to me and say yes.
All right, well, thank you very much. Definitely.
All right.
We'll stay in touch. John, thank you. Thank you. Take a step back for a second, and we'll continue our conversation momentarily. Yeah, John's a big fan, Robert, and, you know, he's one of those guys that carries the burden of ensuring that the CFL is a going concern in this city. It has suffered some pretty devastating blows. I'm sure you've seen from the outside how there are many a organization that feels that here in Toronto, Robert, that we have too many other things going on, and the Argos are not a viable thing. Have you seen anything like that, and what's your opinion on the Argos and their survival here in the Toronto community?
I've heard that. You know, it's a great organization. It survived this far. You know, it's a great brand of football for that city. I don't know where the people's getting their problems and their concerns, or then trying to bring an NFL team in, thing of that nature. Let the Toronto Argonauts live. You know, it's one of the winningest organizations in the city of Toronto. You know, so just leave them alone and just let them do what they do. And the fans come out and support them, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, and as far as you can't always be the best. It
no,
doesn't
it
hurt to be second best sometimes.
No, it does not.
And we try harder, right?
Yes, exactly. So second
now,
best means that you got more work to do.
Let me ask you, because you're a very politically conscious person, and I don't mean by politics specifically, but you do have some opinions on life in general, and allow me to put you on the spot. You mentioned something about guns. What do you feel? How do you? You said your dad basically died at the hands of a youthful gang member.
Correct.
If I understood that
correctly,
mm-hmm. What are your feelings on that?
You know what? I base everything off our laws, and our laws, no matter how anyone writes it down, whether they wrote it back, I don't care if they wrote it back in the dinosaur prehistoric age. The law is the law, you know. And if you're going to sit there and change the law, that's a different dynamic and make up all itself together. I mean, the Second Amendment specifically says the right to bear arms. Does someone need a semi-automatic weapon or thing of that nature? No, they do not. For what reason? What purpose? But they should be warned the right to have one. Not everyone who owns a semi-automatic weapon is going out there and killing everyone. Yes, we do have a few deranged people out there, left and right, that are going to do it. Yeah, but you know, we also have millions of responsible adults who've had them for years. They keep them in a gun case. They keep lock clips on them. You know, so you can't fault a mass of individuals for the actions of a few. And that, you know, I think that's what our government is doing. And I think they're going about it the wrong way. But hey, what do I know? I mean, I'm just a voter.
No,
Hey,
listen, you're not a CFL player anymore. You don't have to worry about the CFLPA. You might have to worry about the CFL Alumni Association, but I guess that's the extent that you have to concern yourself with. And since I put you out on a limb, I'm going to put myself out on a limb. And I'm going to say that I disagree with you a little bit, but the way I disagree with you is only this, and that is that nobody should have, like, I'm sorry, but this is the part I don't like. I don't think guns should be had just for entertainment. I don't think they're an entertainment. I don't think that's an entertainment thing that people should have. They should be more than allowed to have them for their protection. There's some discussion about these automatic weapons being ergonomically effective for, let's say, older people. And by ergonomic, it means that an older person that can't handle a shotgun or that can't handle a rifle can handle one of these guns because they're easy to shoot. Now, I'm not pretending to know anything about guns, so please don't assume I know everything for the people out there. But the fact is, then, if that's the case, then those guns should only be allowed for people who need them for their protection. At the end of the day, the right to bear arms, in my opinion, is the right to protect yourself.
Correct.
And if it's not to protect yourself, okay, and if it's not for you to be responsible, then you shouldn't have them. And part of the responsibility is that there should be gun checks 100% of the time.
Well, I agree with that.
Right? It's not hard. And you know what? I believe in the freedom of being responsible, but I also believe the government's responsibility, just like when they hand a driver's license out, they can revoke it just as easily.
Yes, they can.
For the right reasons. Now, we're not talking about the wrong reasons. We can debate what's the right reason, the wrong reason.
Yeah.
But for the right reason, they should revoke it. We talked about your children. We talked about health. Health issues for someone like you who has been an athlete all your life, and you've been blessed with a body that works with you. What do you say to the people who I know you do some work and you help people empower themselves. What
Correct.
Do you say to those people to empower themselves? That's the most empowering thing that you can say to the general public right here today and tonight.
Honestly, just stop trying to be perfect. Just do your best. You know, to me, the thing that makes everything off is what I tell my own sons. It's like, you know what I consider success? The effort you put forth. you can put forth the best of effort and come up short, but you know what? All right, you maybe give a little bit more next time. You always have more to give. Don't get frustrated, because you're not perfect. Show me anything else that's perfect. God, I told you before, I'm not religious. God is the only perfect thing on this planet. And he allows us to make mistakes. Just go out there and do your best. If you make a mistake, learn from it. And just keep going forward. Just don't ever just stop trying, is what I tell everybody. Whether it be losing weight, whether it be getting a better job, whether it be bettering yourself, whether it be mental illness, whatever it is, just never give up trying to do your best. Because that's, to me, that's success.
Can I become ethnic at this point and ask you a question? as an African-American, can I refer to you as an African-American?
Yes, you can.
Well, how would you prefer I refer to you?
Just American.
American, okay. The reason I ask this is because as an African-American that comes up to Canada in the time that you did, our black culture is exploding here.
Yes.
And as it explodes, it develops some of the same, societal issues that America has been dealing with for years.
Correct.
As somebody who's experienced and walked the walk and who has lived, because here in Canada right now and in Toronto specifically, we're having some problems with crime and gangs and shootings, not to the extent, of course, that they have it in places like, for example, in Chicago, the president's home state. But to what extent could you offer advice to me and people like me, of all colors, on how we could make our streets safer and defuse this desire to become, for our young people to become, enamored with this gang culture?
That's
Do you have any opinions on that?
That's a billion-dollar question. I rack my brain sometimes trying to figure out, and the best thing I can say, or the only thing I can see what it is, it's ego. It's ego-driven. All these guys think that it makes them gangster or it makes them cool or it makes them hard. And by hard, I mean makes them tough, that they can go out there and carry a gun or kill somebody or make someone, fearful of them. They don't realize that one day we all will die. And the choices you make now will decide whether you go to heaven or hell, whether you believe it or not, because there is an afterlife. And if you would rather sit there with Satan or come back reincarnated or wherever it may be, then choose to be bad. And I always just sit here and say this. It's like, it's you believe in God, you believe in something higher than yourself, he died on the cross for you, just so you can have the right, the liberty to be able to go out there and live and be a person. But these people just are so themselves. I teach my children, and I stand by it every day I wake up. I can't sit here and just care about myself. I try to make someone smile every single day, whether it's just to hold the door for them, whether it's just to, whatever I may do, just to make them smile, because that's what life is about. People who are doing all these bad things are not living. They're not living at all. And once they learn how to live and just be successful in life and just be happy in life, they'll be fine. But until they find that, our culture is, it's unreal. It's unbelievable to watch. The news is depressing, very depressing to watch.
But can I say this, and this is the reason I bring this up is because I did listen to you throughout this interview, and there were moments for a split second that I could hear something, and I wanted to get this out. Because like you, I believe that one of the best things that athletes can do, one of the best things that people can do, and that is support each other in times of need.
Yeah, I agree.
As a young man, you had a horrible experience. Mm-hmm. You lost your father, whom you didn't get a chance to know as well as many do.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to be a real sad moment in your life. And what I want to know, and the point I want to make is this, is that just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean you have to be bad.
Correct.
Some people, a bad experience like it did for you, it helped you to realize that it hurts to have what happened to you and that you don't want to do that to anyone else.
No, why? I'm a human being.
But I'm speaking to the people out there,
yeah,
and to the people who talk to people out there who think just because something bad happened to them, it gives them the right to do something bad to someone else. Not realizing that doing good is a far greater reward than repeating evil.
Correct.
And that's what I hear from your message. That's the person I've gotten to know on Facebook, and that's the person I want to share with everybody out there who's listening to our program here tonight. And if nothing else that you heard here tonight, that you understand that Robert Drummond is a man, a father, an athlete who had a horrible thing happen to him in life that could have sent him down a different road, and it didn't. And Robert Drummond, I'm proud of you. I truly am.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And for those of you that are watching the program, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for sticking around as long as you did. I want to say that it was a pleasure getting to know Robert Drummond personally. And Robert, it really is a pleasure to be on the telephone with such greatness. You are a great man, a great athlete, and a wonderful human being.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sure I'm not the first person that told you that.
No.
And I hope I'm not the last.
No, I am who I am. I'll never change.
We love you, brother. And listen.
Thank you.
And it was a pleasure. And thank you for taking the time to be on our show. Much peace to you. And much love and happiness to your children. And especially good health.
Well, thank you. I'll relate to my voice.
You're welcome, my friend. Thank you for being on the program.
All right, you have a good night, sir.
You too, sir. All right. Well, that was Robert Drummond. Double back-to-back Grey Cups, a man, a human being, and the reason why I love going to the games, because I totally, totally enjoy the fact that I get to meet people. And every so often, those people wear uniforms, but they're no different than you and me. Thank you for tuning in to Candid Frank Live, the CFL show. It's been a pleasure. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did bringing it to you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We're going to do the commercials one more time. I want to remind you, one last time, folks, it's Wednesday night, Saturday the 9th. There will be a feast to be had. and let me play the ad for you to make sure that you know where, when. And that's $100 a ticket at the door per person. Hello? Yes? Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, but... Oh, really? Argo Players will be serving the food? Okay, I guess I can take a ticket. It's for Sick Kids Foundation? Okay, change that to 2 tickets, please. Where will it be? Cirillo's Culinary School in Etobicoke, 4894 Dundas Street West, and the doors open at 7 p.m., and dinner is served at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. I can't wait to meet the Argos. I know, and I'm doing something good for children, too. $100. Yes, at the door. Oh, and thank you. Cirillo's Culinary Academy, 4894 Dundas Street West, on February 9th, $100 at the door. I won't forget. Oh, and yes, I will be there. How about you? Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Thank you to John Granger, Jane Wolodarski, and Kingsley Collectibles for calling in. And once again, thank you, Robert Drummond. It's been a very interesting evening. Remember one very important fact about the Canadian Football League. We still got to wait a little longer. Still got to wait a little longer. But hey, our teams are making moves. We're all building up this idea that our team can do it. On this side, we want the Argos to do it. But I want to remind all the Hamilton Tiger Cat fans, the Ottawa Whatchamacallits, the Montreal Alouettes, the Winnipeg Blue Bomber, the Calgary Stampeder, Edmonton Eskimo, and British Columbia Lion fans, you're all welcome on this program. But we are not ashamed of being Argo fans. Thanks for listening.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone.